I'm Mary Welter here with Vince Colonies.
And joining us right now, Ken Cuccinelli is the former Virginia Attorney General and the president of the Senate Conservatives Fund. Ken, good morning. Good to have you here on Mornings on the Mulligan.
Good morning. Good to be with you both.
Let's talk about Virginia for a moment, which settled out an interesting question yesterday, because David Yancey's name ends up getting pulled out of that bowl, out of that nice, artful ceramic bowl, which results in him defeating Shelley Simons, and for now, the Republicans holding a one-vote majority in the House of Delegates. She's legally challenged this thing, attempting to kind of, get one last gasp of a legal battle here. How does this thing end up?
Well, you don't see many statutes that literally contain the words "there will be no appeal," but this statute contains that kind of language. And once the court has declared a tie, which they did, and which the Democrat filed a motion to reconsider, which is a time-limited motion, you only have 21 days, and the court has to decide in that time, and they rejected that motion to reconsider before the drawing. And so now the drawing's taken place because it was a tie, and David Yancey won. And the statute says that's it. There's no appealing, and that makes sense. I mean, okay, if you decide you're going to draw something by the equivalent of a coin toss, how do you appeal a coin toss? No, I said heads. That might be a fraud issue, but they did it they didn't even do heads or tails. They drew literally a name out of the bowl, and a Democrat was the one who drew the name out. So that's the head of the State Board of Elections is a Democrat right now. And there's really nowhere to go for the Democrats. Now, I'm a lawyer. And as I tell my defense clients often, that doesn't mean people can't sue. God bless America. They can sue for anything. It just doesn't mean they get to win. So this is over. David Yancey is going to be seated. The Republicans will have a 51-49 advantage in the House of Delegates after the horrendous performance in November, where they lost so many seats, 15 seats or so. But they will hold the majority, and they will have basically a one-seat majority, I would expect, on every committee. But it will change the dynamics in the General Assembly, no question about it. But they would have changed a lot more if David Yancey hadn't prevailed in the drawing yesterday. So from a Republican perspective, this was a lucky draw.
Now, will David Yancey be seated when the House convenes on January 10th?
I don't know what Kirk Cox and the caucus will do. They may just be cautious because they don't actually need him, because the vote for organization will be a 50-49 vote at that point, even without David Yancey. So to maintain appearances, and I don't think David would fight this. This is something that will be worked out with him. They may not seat him, just to let Simons literally have every last gasp she can possibly conceive of. And I use the word conceive of because it's going to take some creativity. Because as I told you, the statute says it's over. So, and the House has the power to seat him. There's no question about that. And it's really a question of tactics. Do they decide to do it? And I think their decision will be basically a PR decision. They want to, and I don't mean that in a crass way. I mean that they may be sensitive to what people think, and that some people may want to see every legal motion they can file come and go.
Yeah.
Within reason, they're not going to keep David out for the second half of the session where hard votes are going to be taken, like the budget, for instance.
But why even waste
them? But they may not seat him right off the bat.
I mean, why even waste the money or resources on litigation if you know where this thing's going to end up? It doesn't seem like it makes any sense. But I guess that's what happens in politics. Let me ask you, Ken, because of your other job as the head of the Senate Conservatives Fund, specifically about a bunch of things that are going on in the news. First and foremost, I want to ask you about the Steve Bannon story. I know you've been following it along with us and everybody else. Senate Conservatives Fund also endorsing Roy Moore in Alabama alongside Bannon. How important is Steve Bannon to the conservative movement at large, and what did you make of this week's developments?
Well, first of all, it's important to remember that there were two rounds to the primary in Alabama. It's not something we have in Maryland or Virginia. In the first round, we had endorsed Congressman Mo Brooks, a member of the Freedom Caucus, as the best and most viable conservative. And the president came in and effectively defeated Brooks and kept him out of the runoff by endorsing Luther Strange. So the president is really not on good ground by pointing to that as evidence of, lack of wisdom, I'll call it, on Bannon's part, because Bannon also supported Mo Brooks, and Mo Brooks was the best choice. But Roy Moore absolutely destroyed Mitch McConnell's candidate, Luther Strange, and then everything went to, hell in a handbasket.
Right.
But, Steve's role really rises and falls a lot with the president, I think, and not because of substance, but because of perception. A lot of the donor class was very interested in what Steve had to say, and you've already seen people like Rebecca Mercer throw him overboard. Rebecca, for your listeners, is one of the most important conservative donors in America. And has been a longtime ally of Steve Bannon and a supporter of Breitbart, her and her father. And, I think Steve's real legacy is the continuation from Andrew Breitbart of the Breitbart site. I mean, he grew that enormously. People don't quite realize how big Breitbart got. I mean, they have a Texas Breitbart. They have London. They're international.
Right.
They have California. So they actually do journalism, believe it or not. I mean, it's with a hard conservative slant, but without Bannon there any longer, I don't know how much control he's exercising, it can be a little more idealistically conservative instead of nationalistically conservative, is one of the subtle differences, things like free trade and how hard you fight and things. And I tend to think that Steve's voice has been very positive in that regard at a strategic level. But I think he really tripped over himself here by allowing himself to get on the other side of the president, really not for any substantive reason. It was just gratuitous shooting back and forth, and it doesn't move the ball forward. And I really think it was a unfortunate mistake on his part, and it's going to have long-term consequences.
Let me ask you real quickly, in the 30 seconds or so we have left, you saw the Senate pass a tax bill shepherded through in large part by Mitch McConnell. You at the Senate Conservatives Fund very much have been against him on a lot of issues. Were you happy with him, and yep, did that buy any graces with you guys?
No. I mean, this was something the president ran on this, and they were in this difficult position of literally having delivered nothing legislatively of any significance. And most critically, Mitch McConnell's duplicity, not failure, duplicity in not repealing Obamacare. I mean, this is a guy who ran over 30,000 ads in October of his election year saying how he was going to pull it out root and branch. And look, he's unmasked in that regard. Mitch McConnell wants Obamacare. He wants to keep Obamacare, and he wants to be able to go back and say, hey, I repealed it. I did everything I could, and you should be happy with me. Well, that is just ridiculous. He allowed for Obamacare to survive through Lisa Murkowski. He fought for her against a Republican in 2010. She was a deciding vote. John McCain obviously played a key role.
All right.
You cannot absolve McConnell of his failures in stabbing the conservative movement in the back.
All right, there you go. Ken Cuccinelli, thanks for that. By the way, hit that Kentucky bourbon and work on the impression a little more. Appreciate everything this morning. Nice to hear from you, sir.
Stay cool. Stay warm.
We'll try.
Stay warm.